Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Think of it. Can you be unborn once born? No. Can you lose your new birth as a believer? No again. There are lots of things we cannot know for sure, but being sure of salvation is not one of them. Today, more hope for an eternal future with God. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Romans chapter 8 for more in a series on how you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. Pastor Lutzer comes now with more on being held in God's hands.
Thirdly, third pillar is the pledge of God, the pledge of God. Now, Paul becomes very realistic. He does not become like some preachers painting a very rosy picture of the Christian life and saying, now, if you believe you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and that all of your life you're going to have a beautiful path with flowers on both sides. No. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. And then he lists seven things that Christians often have thought separated them from the love of Christ. You and I know, and we probably have been there ourselves, where there are those who simply say, God doesn't love me anymore, and we ask, and it's one of these seven things. Because I don't know what else there could be among that could separate us from the love of God that we might think would separate us from his love if it's not one of these seven. Shall tribulation? Well, let me ask you, how was this past week? You say, well, it was so filled with tribulation, I don't think God was on my side anymore. Well, Paul says tribulation is not going to separate you from the love of Christ. Well, you say, what about distress? You say, well, I always was told that Christians never have distress. They just go to heaven every evening and return again in the morning. And they walk with such uninterrupted victory that there is no distress. Well, I want you to know today, Christians have distress. Paul says, though, if you have it, this is one thing that won't separate you from the love of Christ. Persecution. In the ancient times, Christians were marched to the lions. They cried to God. They pled with God for forgiveness. And the lions came and devoured them. And there was no deliverance. Did that separate them from the love of Christ? Paul says, no, it'll take something else maybe, but not that. What about famine? So the economic plan in the United States doesn't work. We go into another recession. The economy unravels, and there's nakedness. That's another one. Poverty, peril. That won't separate us from the love of Christ. Well, what about death itself? If somebody takes a sword to you, and here in this church, as you know, we've had several families who have lost teenagers through drive-by shootings. The boys have been gunned down on the streets of this great city. Will that separate you from the love of Christ? Will a sword do it? Will a gun do it? No. In fact, he quotes from the Psalms, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That was true in the Old Testament. It's true today. Persecution, difficulty, death, despair, ill health has always plagued the people of God, just as it has plagued those who are not the people of God. Paul says that these things will not separate us from the love of Christ. And then just in case there's some enterprising person who says, I think Paul missed something. Paul says, I want you to know that I'm going to cover everything. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, well, we wouldn't expect them to separate us from the love of God. But what about principalities? What about the demons? They would love to separate us from the love of God, for sure. Nor things present. Well, he could imagine somebody says, well, you know, this was ancient. This is 2,000 years ago. So Paul says, nor things to come, things that will exist in the 20th century or the 21st. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth. And Paul says, for those of you who want a closed case, nor any other created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I get the impression that Paul wanted to leave with us the general idea that if you're a believer, you'll never be separated from the love of Christ, period, period. And if you think that this kind of teaching was unique to the Apostle Paul, Jesus taught it as well. Today we have emphasized the three pillars that Paul puts in the ground here. He says the plan of God is to save those whom he foreknew, and he will save them despite the difficulties along the way. And then he goes on to say the pardon of God is such that God's elect stand justified in his sight despite their sinfulness and despite their distress and weaknesses. And then Paul says we have the pledge of God that nothing shall separate us from God's love, period. You say, well, that's what Paul taught. Did Jesus agree with him? Did Jesus agree with the Apostle Paul? Well, the answer is yes. Turn to John 10 for just a moment. John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about his sheep. And what he wants to make plain is that his sheep will never perish. In fact, it would be embarrassing if his sheep were to perish. You know, if you were given 100 sheep in the morning and you returned later on with 95 in the afternoon, you would be a laughingstock among shepherds. They would say, you know, what kind of a shepherd is going to lose some sheep? Now just comment on this. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Somebody says, oh yes, but we can snatch ourselves out of his hand. It's not quite that easy, my dear friend, because we are not only in his hand, the Bible says we are his hand. It's not that simple. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Jesus said, if you can't trust my hand, at least trust the hand of my Father. And what you have in this passage is hands in harmony. You have the Son's hand, you have the Father's hand, and the sheep are in those hands clasped together. And at the end of the day, the shepherd brings all the sheep home. What would you think of a shepherd who returned home with 95 after being given 100 and then said, well, you know, you just don't understand how stubborn these sheep are. That's you. You know, if you knew how stubborn these sheep are, they find all kinds of false paths that they take. What was I supposed to do? I just let them wander according to their own free will. They didn't want to come to the sheepfold at night. We'd say, friend, look for another job. Do something else. Your calling lies in another direction. Shepherds bring sheep home. And it is unthinkable that those sheep that are a gift from God the Father to the Son, those whom thou hast given me, that in the end, God would say, well, some are missing, but you just don't understand how stubborn they were. They will arrive. They will arrive. What about Ted Turner? In a continuation of the quote with which I began, he said, the business of Jesus Christ dying on a cross for sinners is weird stuff, man, he said. You see, it is possible for people to pray, to even generally believe, to even emotionally have an experience, and not be genuinely one of God's sheep. You say, well, how then do we know that we are one of God's sheep? How do we know if our faith is real faith? The answer to that is come back next Sunday. That's what I'm preaching on. That's what the whole deal is. That's what the whole deal is. Because there is a false faith, but we can also know that we have a true faith. And as many as received him, to those he gives the authority to become the children of God. And they become his children forever. Now you say, well, I can't wait till next week. Well, that's all right. Even now, if you are here today and do not know Christ as Savior, and you look to Him and you say, Jesus, I transfer all of my trust to You as best I know. I cleave to You alone to receive the gift of eternal life. You can be saved. Yes, my friend, if you are a believer, you are held in God's hands. And when it comes time to die, despite the doubts and the darkness, God's sheep will make it all the way home. And if you will, let us pray. Our Father, we do want to thank You today that long before we were born, we were already special to You. The Bible says that we were loved in Christ, we were chosen in Christ, we were foreknown, and we've been in Your mind for all of eternity, and it overwhelms us to think of it. We will be in Your mind for eternity to come. And it's all by grace, and You did it for people who were so overwhelmingly unworthy that all that they could do throughout all of eternity is sing Your praise. We thank You. Thank You today that we are held in hands that are much stronger than we are. Father, let no one leave here today without a recognition and a solid conviction that they belong to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Where are you right now? Are you in a car? In an office? Are you at home? Where are you listening to this? Because no matter where you are and no matter what day it is, you are able to believe on Christ if God has worked in your heart. And remember, the issue is not just receiving God's help. It is God rescuing you from your sin and its consequences. Would you turn to God through Jesus Christ right now? Would you tell Him that you're a sinner and that you want to trust Christ alone for your salvation? You bring nothing to this except your great need. I've written a book entitled, How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God. My friend, there is no question that is as important as that one. We're making it available for you for a gift of any amount, and you'll discover that it clarifies many issues as to what saving faith is, what it is that we need, the assurance of salvation, and as I frequently have emphasized, you'll be blessed, but also I can't help but think that you should offer that book to someone else because they may need to know how they can be sure that they will spend eternity with God.
The heavenly city God has made for us is not going anywhere. All who live and die in Christ will have their part in that wondrous coming place. Next time, Erwin Lutzer will begin the final message in this series. Join us then for teaching about knowing for sure. How you can be sure that you will spend eternity with God. What can be more important? Pastor Lutzer has written a book by that title, and it can be yours as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how you can be sure. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.